Hello, 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 everybody. How you doing? Open your Bibles to John chapter 2. I've got a lot to cover today. Father, we thank you for your word, that it's your word. It's not the word of a man, but it's the word of God. And we thank you for it to be life and health to us today in Jesus' name. Now, in John chapter 2, we see in verse 13, let's start there. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple. Let's stop right there. What would he do today? What would he find in the temple? He found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all, how many? All out of the temple. And the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. I think we're preaching a wrong Jesus today. Some little tiny Jesus that wouldn't say nothing and doesn't want to offend anyone. Mm-hmm. He overthrew the tables, and he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And on it goes. And I just wrote a couple of notes about this verse. It was kind of in my mind this week about how Jesus is not who we think he is. And he was purging them right then. He was purging. And if he was here today, he'd still be preaching and he'd be purging and he'd try to separate the good from the evil, right? Jesus saw the faithful being burdened and abused because the money changers were in the temple and they kept charging more and more for the sacrifices. So the bankers got in the church, and it became all about money. And remember, he said, you can't serve God and money. You can't serve them both. The money changers worked alongside businessmen to make a profit for themselves and had nothing to do with the things of God. The religious leaders were compromising. And I think he was showing us here that if they compromised back then, don't be surprised if you see merchandising and abuse in the church, people being abused through money, through giving, widows being taken, it just breaks my heart. The religious rulers were compromising, and they were cheating and burdening the people for the love of money. They had greed. He did a purge. Jesus purged the abuse and the abusers and the hypocrites. And he gave them a very strong encouragement to leave. So I wanted to start off with that, and then I wanted to read a few letters that you guys sent. And I'm only going to read parts of it, so I didn't read all of it because it gets long and some are personal, but I just thought it's a good time to share some of these. And this one lady, she said, I came by your way of a church. She featured one of your messages and also this lady's testimony on her channel. And get this, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. A minister actually telling the truth. I was just like, that is so sad, though. I left the staff as a pastor's assistant of a large charismatic denomination a few years ago. I saw the business of God, right there, what I was just preaching, the business of God from the inside, and decided it had nothing to do with Jesus. So she left, and she got labeled backslidden. She said, and listen to this, I had a YouTube channel as well and have been watching you. Last week I told my husband, you watch, they're going to hit Roberta's channel because they don't want truth tellers, period. It does not matter what you edit in your speech because you are on their radar. They did the same to me and many others. Do not look at the numbers at all. They want you so discouraged. They want you discouraged. I'll be praying for your ministry no matter what. Just keep doing in this window of time. And God will get the words out to those who need to hear it. I thank you so much for your messages every week because I need to hear them badly, so badly in this world of lies.
Yes.
Wow.
Amen.
And then another one, part of it, thank you for your determination. This is from, they called it Canada/Chinada. Thank you for determination to continue to get the truth out there. I'm thankful for you. I wonder how many real Christians there are out there, as they don't seem to be hardly any in the churches/cults. Keep going. You are in our prayers. From Canada, Chinada. She goes, I know, not funny. And then another one. This had to do with someone that has come out of the New Apostolic Reformation, which is huge. And this is joining politics, as you know. This is going to be huge. It's going to be part of the end time huge deception in the world religion. He said his kingdom is not of this world. She said Jesus never mentioned revival. He never mentioned a great awakening. But he warned us of a great falling away, which we've been preaching. The New Testament is filled with warnings about deception, apostasy, false teachers, false prophets, wolves in sheep's clothing, false signs and wonders, and the Antichrist appearing before his return. Jesus isn't coming back to a powerful church that has taken over the institutions of this world. Now, this is a Seven Mountains mandate, which they're all preaching, that we have to take this dominionism. He said his followers would be hated and persecuted. His followers would be enduring until the end, not reigning in the end. When he returns, will he find faith on the earth? And so then I just kind of grabbed a couple of my old notes from how do you know if someone is teaching this Seven Mountain mandate and the dominionism teachings. Some symptoms. Jesus cannot, they say, or will not return until the church has taken dominion by gaining control of the earth's government, social institutions, blah, blah, blah. This is the Seven Mountain mandates. And I have a whole teaching on that. Beware of the New Apostolic Reformation. These are new apostles coming in his name, declaring things, decreeing and declaring and bossing God around like Santa Claus. So the symptoms of dominionism, they bypass the cross. They de-emphasize the gospel of salvation. That is the most important thing. Salvation has to have three elements. Who Christ is, fully God and perfect, he's sinless. Number two, who we are, we're helpless sinners, or we wouldn't need a savior. We were condemned to eternal death. And number three, what Christ's death accomplished, the payment of the full penalty for our sins. Any attempt by us to pay in any way rejects the cross. This is universalism. We are to preach the gospel to who? Every creature. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:30, 31. So they de-emphasize that salvation message. And I remember when we first got saved and started doing church, we had altar calls. And then all of a sudden, altar calls just left. I was like, why aren't they coming up to the altars anymore? That was my favorite part. Even when I went to the Nazarene church, it was just like they had altars and we'd go up there and we'd pray. And oh, and all these little hand ladies, little grandmas would come and put their arms around you and hug you. And I mean, we had altar time. We got altered in the presence of God. Then another sign that they teach, Jesus didn't quite defeat Satan on the cross. And they all teach that he didn't quite, that's a whole nother message. He didn't get the whole job done. The church must finish the job. And so they put this responsibility on man because man has to do it through the Seven Mountains. And really what that is, it's not Christianity taking over. But the responsibility is on man. What a burden. Like, you know, God's not big enough to do what he needs to do. Exactly. Emphasize Old Testament law. I feel bad for you people that think that this is the way. We went that route for a little bit, thinking that that was the way to go back and all become, you know. Well, the Bible says there's neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female. We're all one in Christ. You don't have to go back under the law, go back under these holidays and do these feasts and all that. It emphasizes Old Testament law, covenants, works, and deeds. I just have no words. They ignore, slides over, sidesteps, give lip service to, or otherwise disregards the fact that Jesus saves us from our sins. They don't talk about sin and being separated in a holy life. It's almost like it's just all about you. Everything's about you. The music is about you. We're going to touch on that. Everything is about you. So Jesus' role as Savior and Redeemer is diminished, and his work is unfinished. Therefore, the church on earth must make up for his lack. And this is going worldwide. This is a national false teaching. You will hear how they changed the gospel of salvation to now it's the gospel of the kingdom. A shift in emphasis from Christ the rock of our salvation to building an actual kingdom on earth. And this is Alice Bailey's teaching. They want the kingdom on earth because that's all they got. Ignoring or skipping over the Old Testament prophets or perverting their messages, ignoring their dire warnings about the consequences of idolatry and sin and God's impending judgment, extreme in teaching on law or grace. Just everything is just grace now. And on it goes. That's just a little bit about what she was talking about there, dominionism. There's a couple of things I wrote down. Well, I guess this is an old list that I had. Why have we followed popular Christian leaders rather than God? Why are we following men? The Bible says, cursed is the man that follows man, right? Well, we thought we were following men that knew the Lord. Why have we all talked ourselves out of the end times? We're on top and rising. We're blessed. Why are Christians abandoning their faith in the Bible and joining ecumenical movements? Well, this is part of the end time one world church. Universal, prompting unity among Christians and all other religions together. And this is paganism. And this is what this new Ten Commandments is all about. See if we have time to hit on that. Who is the church silent? Why is the church silent on major issues like another gospel? Covetousness and greed. Preachers, watered down Bible translations. Greedy preachers. And New Age, I can't even read my own writing. And New Age mysticism in our midst. Why is the church silent on these very important subjects? What would Jesus do if he was here? I mean, we cannot forget that he was purging out that temple and how upset he'd be today. Taking his name, saying, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name? Haven't we done these mighty deeds in your name? What did he say? Depart from me, you workers. You're working iniquity. While church leaders talk of blessing and revival, is Jesus Christ the only one warning us to watch and pray and be not deceived? Why is the true Jesus, if he was hated and persecuted, why do we as his followers expect anything else? Because we haven't been taught that. We haven't been taught. Now, the church culture, I kind of took some notes on this. The church culture, you know what that is? You just live in this church bubble, and you do everything. That's what I did for 28 years. I led praise and worship for 17 years, but I was in this church for 28 years. I started children's church ministry, the music ministry, prayer ministry. I think I started every ministry there was. I was talking about that with my son. And you get into this culture, and you almost don't even know there's another world. It's like you live in this bubble, and that's all you do. Well, the church culture has some harmful elements in some congregations. Not all of them, but in some. There's some things that can be, you know, that need to be talked about. And the first one is extremely loud music. So I was bringing this up to someone this week, and they said, well, you know, we want you to come to our church, but when you come, they'll give you earplugs. And that just made me mad. I just thought, and I said, well, why do you have to have earplugs? For the concert experience. And I was like, we're not going there for a concert, but that's what's happened. I wonder what Jesus would do. Do you think his whip would kind of swirl around a little bit on this one? I'm going to get back to that, because I'm going to give a warning from a common sense grandma. Me. And yet another thing that's really bad is empty positivity. Empty positivity. The goal is to always be positive. And I was looking at all the scriptures. I don't have time, but I looked up what, you know, we are supposed to think on true things. We are supposed to give thanks for everything. We are supposed to. But there's also a part that you're not always positive. Because you're facing reality of life. So this can be dangerous. Why can it be dangerous? Much of life is not positive, but frustrating. It's disappointing and sometimes depressing. The Bible says that we're going to be living in the days of sorrow. Yeah. I remember 3 years ago, I said, this is the beginning of sorrows. And they got mad at me. We are in the days of sorrows. Things are happening nonstop. Here's the reality. Creating a life full of positivity is impossible. It's made up and it's foolish. That's New Age teaching. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't be positive and that we shouldn't have a good attitude. But when you're going through something, most people lie.
Yeah.
Because they've been taught to twist it. Their funerals are celebrations. Instead of time for grief and saying goodbye, it's let's have a party. Be positive. No, the someone just lost someone, and yeah, we want to do some great things of maybe show things they've done, but it's also a time for you to say goodbye in any way. It's a closure experience. So we are to be thankful for what we have. We are to be content instead of what we've been taught is to greed more, be more. Get out of debt is what I've been saying for 6 years. Get out of debt, because a lot of these churches, you have to impress people you don't know. You have to pay bills to impress people you don't know. You can't drive in some church's parking lot because one pastor said, I don't want any bad-looking vehicles in my parking lot.
True.
Well, then let the pastor pay for that car then, if his ego is so important. Oh, I just feel like a whip tonight.
Whip it.
We are to be thankful for what we have, be content. Think on things that are true. Think on things that are good. Yes, not to let corrupt things come out of our mouth. But don't lie.
Yeah.
We need to be able to face the trials of life. Talk to people when we need help. And I have to admit, I was raised in this faith message to never ask for help.
Exactly.
In fact, I still have a hard time asking for anything. Mark will go, do you need to say something and ask for it? It's like, I have a hard time asking for help because I was raised the opposite. So you have to almost ask for, you know, we're used to doing everything ourselves, right?
Yeah.
We need to be able to face the trials of life, talk to people when we need help.
Amen.
Sometimes I have to process. Some things happen and I need to process. And sometimes you need someone to process with.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to vent. And if you're just the lovey-dovey rug all the time, people are going to step all over you. And sometimes you got to rise up and say, you're not stepping on me again.
Amen.
We got a cheering section in here tonight. We need to face the trials of life and talk to people when you need help. And let people talk to you when they're going through something. We have been taught not to be a burden. You got to be positive. You got to say, and so people are going through cancer, they don't want to tell anyone, they don't want to ask for prayer, they're going through these heavy trials. Sometimes they're too embarrassed to receive financial help from someone because we have been taught that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that the Bible says we're here to serve each other, right? So we can be a victim or a victor in Christ, but sometimes there's steps to coming out of being a victim. You don't just immediately, if something bad happens to you, oh, I got to be a victor. And you just keep on pressing down truth, pressing down your pain, and one day you explode on the wrong person because you haven't processed correctly. And we haven't really went to the Lord and went to someone else and talked through things. And instead of going to these therapists that charge you so much money by the hour, and you really just need a good friend to talk to sometimes. I'm not telling you what to do. But I'm just saying many times it's because you can't talk to people in church. And that's why people go to bars. They talk to their bartender. They'll listen. People in church, they don't want to listen. They're too positive. You're going through something? I don't want to hear it. You're going through something because you don't have enough faith. And it's your problem. I don't want to hear about it. Now you are taking away my energy because you're just so faithless. That's how it makes you feel.
Stop whining.
Shame. Yeah, just stop whining.
Yeah.
Still got that whip. The truth is we're in a sinful world that vexes us daily. Those last 2 years, 3 years, it's been a vexing experience. Many of you have lost loved ones, lost jobs. We're grieving. So we have to face reality in Christ with peace and his joy and just say, Lord, I trust you. Like that song we just sang, Lord, I trust you. Even when there's trials, there's temptations, bad things happen, what gives us that peace? Lord, I trust you.
Amen.
There's something about when you give your heart over to trust the Lord, peace comes.
Yeah.
When we're trying to fix it all and we're trying to do it, we think we're in charge, we don't get his peace. But when we relax and trust him, and things have happened to all of us, and we're like, well, this shouldn't have happened to me. I'm a child of the king. We had this entitlement, weird fake crown on our heads that we thought nothing was going to happen to us, right? Now, I found this article I saw, and I wanted to comment on this. This lady said, I visited a contemporary church for the first time a couple of decades ago and could not believe how loud the music was. I visited a more contemporary church in recent years, and the music was even louder, simply ear-splitting. In each church, I sat as far away from the speakers as possible, and the music was so loud, my feelings rattled. Can someone tell me why the music in so many churches is so loud? I'm aware of sound levels loud enough to damage hearing, and in all the churches I'm referencing to, the music was at those levels. And then they're saying that the churches now are offering earplugs, but it's honestly unpleasant to wear them. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know what I mean? But I personally had this experience when, how many years ago was that? Probably 8 years ago, 9 years ago maybe. We had a band come in. Actually, you were in that band. We had a band come in.
It was my fault.
It was not his fault. It was the person on the soundboard's fault, and they would not ever, and I just found this out through you, that more people left because of the music. It was so loud. And my son actually was coming to preach that night, and he did a great, fantastic job, actually. But as we were praise and worshiping, my eardrum just perforated right there. And I remember it just went, and I told Tim, I said, what did I say? I don't know. I just knew. It was just like, oh my, huh?
You told me you broke your eardrum.
Yeah, that it broke my eardrum. And this is what, a ruptured eardrum, perforated. And then after I was talking, this has happened to more people. Your husband, you guys. I mean, it was just like, what, why is the music so loud that it's destroying people's eardrums? So ruptured eardrums, perforated, there's a hole or a tear within that tissue that separates the ear canal from the middle ear, eardrums. Ruptured eardrums can result in hearing loss and can also make that middle ear vulnerable to infections. And people need to be warned, especially when they're young. You know, when people are young and they're teenagers, they want it really loud. But now it's like, do you know that you could lose your hearing? And more people have lost their hearing through all these generations here of all this loud, loud music. Turning up the volume, a joyful noise or a noise ordinance violation. A megachurch that was too loud, talks about here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This is a true article. Sound complaints have reached a fever pitch with those living in a housing development behind the church claiming it's so loud their coffee mugs shake during worship. The city attorney called on them to lower the volume or build a wall to block the excessive noise. Make a joyful noise to the Lord is in the Bible, but it doesn't say it has to be so loud that it, you know, drives everybody's eardrums nuts. Volume has been a major factor in the so-called worship wars for years, causing discord in the communities and within church congregations themselves. Corporate worship together should not have the same atmosphere as a movie theater, concert, stage play, or musical performance. The Sunday morning gathering is to be full of faces. What do? They shut the lights off. Full of faces that are, because the spirit of the world has crept into the church. I know you don't want to hear this. The Sunday morning gathering is to be full of faces that are visible, voices that are heard, and hands that serve. This can't be done in the dark. So just be careful. Be careful with your ears. And one more scripture. We're going to, Galatians 1, verse 6. And I marvel that you are so removed, so soon removed from him that called you to the grace of Christ unto another gospel. There's another gospel. There's another Jesus. There's another spirit, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert, twist. That word pervert there means to twist the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed, or let him be excommunicated. So we got to make sure that we're preaching the real truth, the real Jesus, that he doesn't like just everything that goes. And then lastly, I just wanted to hit on, kind of goes along this with, the creation of the new commandments. What would Jesus think about this? I wonder if his whip would get real big. So this is, you can look up this article. And again, Revelations 20, 1 through 3, it talks about who deceiveth the nations no more. So he's deceiving nations. We are coming into the season. I mean, the enemy's always been here. The beast system has always been here, but it's rising. Activists smash tablets atop Mount Sinai to launch faith-based climate push. Faith-based. You remember years ago when I talked about the green gospel? Watch out for the preachers that turn green. We're about to see.
Yeah.
Very shortly. This is a higher vision. And this is common reason over God, and it's coded. All of these things that they do seem so okay on the outside because it's coded. So you have to know, what are they really saying in these new Ten Commandments? This is paganism. It's heathen. It's nature worship. Yeah. It's worshiping the creature more than the creator. Religion will revolve around the climate, the Green Commandments, the New Age agenda, divinity of nature, and the divinity of man. This is pretty huge. They're idolizing creation over God. And I'm not going to go through the 10 of them, because every time someone has talked about it or get another article, they're all different. They're not consistently the same. So here, and I'm just going to go through parts of this, and you can look it up yourself, but this was done in Egypt, an initiative to mobilize faith leaders. We're coming into the one world religion, people, and what the one world religion is going to all be pagan, and they're going to push out Christ. Oh, everyone's accepted at first. It looks so great. Worldwide to push governments to do more than climate. Kicked off Sunday morning. Smashing mock tablets of stone atop of Egyptian peak to symbolize the world's failure to protect the planet. Just how Moses dropped those commandments, remember? This is like the same thing, like, God, you did not keep your promises. This is definitely, now this is not the first time this has happened. They have been gathering together, and this has been going on, but this is the 10 principles for climate repentance. And why do we care? Because it's going to affect you. It's going to affect us and what they're going to force upon us in the days to come, on how we need to have our carbon footprints. We give off carbon. We breathe, and we need that. Plants need it. God made a perfect balance.
Yeah.
But this isn't really about the climate. This is about control. This is really about control. One of the tablets was made by a youth for a branch of Strike for Future, painting with the words broken promises in Hebrews. The other tablet was painted green to symbolize the green commandments. It's the 27th gathering of the world leaders. The world leaders. This is the merchants of the earth. And things they say are getting worse. We're calling on faith leaders. So now they're going to come to the churches. They're going to come to the religious leaders to add to the sense of urgency and have them weigh in, hopefully forcefully, and globally, to push for the reduction by 50% at least of global warming emissions by 2030. Remember, I've talked to you about Agenda 2030. This is what is happening. This is not a theory. This is fact. Reducing emissions so gradually is immoral at this point. So he talks about the head of the peace department called on the faith leaders to take a climate vow. I, as a person of hope, pledge to make the world a better place for people and planet each day that I live. Now that sounds good.
Wow.
This all sounds good, but you have to know what's going on behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And just a little more. Today, as the faiths put aside their differences in a common call for all this action, we work towards a new covenant for mankind. What is this new covenant for mankind? Think outside of the box. They originally wanted all these people to come at this Mount Sinai for the inaugural ceremony, but Egyptian authorities refused permission. And listen to this, why they refused permission right now, saying the time was not right. Because below this mountain, they're building a vast new building site. The state is constructing new hotels and a huge center for multi-faith prayer. I don't think there'll be any carbon coming off of there, do you? And on it goes. Creation of the new commandments. Wow. Can you see? Lord, have mercy. That's all we can say. Father, help us. New commandments. We stick with the old ones. And it's not that we don't want to do our part, but this is definitely bringing in a religion. Father, we thank you that we have eyes to see. Sometimes we don't like to see truth. Sometimes it makes us mad. But it sets us free because we know you will always want us to see what the enemy's doing, who he is, so we're not confused. And we know in these next couple years there's going to be mass deception. But your people who walk with you are going to see through it because you've given us the Holy Spirit. And we're not going to be deceived by men or their movements or all the things they want to do, because we've been through that. We've been through these movements, and we've lived to tell about it. So we thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Help us all endure to the end and do what you've asked us to do. And thank you for this window of opportunity to preach while we still can. And we promise to give you alone all the glory. And everyone said, in your precious name.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison, and also her backup channel, Roberta Morrison 2. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her. Be sure to check out her YouTube playlist for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org webpage and click on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer-supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.